Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us today. We'd like to welcome you to our Women Veterans Speak radio program. We're live here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's 12 o'clock noon. It's a beautiful day here on March 19th, Monday afternoon. We talk about women veterans issues, and we kind of sometimes veer off into other areas of politics and community news in the city of Philadelphia and surrounding communities, but we try to stay focused on women veterans-specific concerns. I'm the founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans since about 2004, and we have been very active in our communities promoting and raising the awareness of women veterans and our issues as they relate to homelessness and, more importantly, military sexual trauma, which we believe is the root cause of some of the psychological concerns of women veterans. So we'd like to welcome you to our program, and thank you so much for joining us for today. We are looking forward to so many activities that are continuing in this month, celebrating Women's History Month. On Saturday, March 24th in Washington, D.C., we will be joining Walk Against Rape. And, of course, on the 30th, here in Philadelphia, which is becoming quite an excitement here. We've created quite a stir and organized many women veterans here and other veterans who are going to be convening at Philadelphia City Council Caucus Room from 10 o'clock a.m. to 12 p.m., we're going to be paying tribute. We're going to be hosting a small, short ceremony recognizing Deborah Goidette Sampson, who was an American Revolutionary War hero who disguised herself as a man to fight in the American Revolutionary War. And she was wounded three times before they realized that being treated for an injury here in Philadelphia by Dr. Barnabas Denny, that she was a female. And she was honorably discharged and declared a Veterans Day. So we would like to just pay tribute to this African-American patriot of the 1700s as a symbol of service, a woman in service, symbolizing and recognizing and honoring all women who serve in our armed forces. And we have some tremendous activities that are planned. And we also are going to be inviting many individuals to participate in our little ceremony. We have visitors coming. I don't want to share that just yet because we are having a surprise because of the kind of things that we have planned that are going to be new for this platform, and we didn't want to overwhelm our small venue with too many people, but certainly we will be recording it, and we're looking forward to having as many people share in some of the after activities, which will be throughout the year up until the National Day of Service. And beyond that, the Congressional Black Caucus, where we would be hosting a venue that details will be determined for the next few months or so. So we were looking forward to just really growing and increasing in our membership, which our membership windows are open right now for the National Alliance of Women Veterans. And we are just proud that we are getting such a great response on the ground here in Philadelphia and nationally, which we do not have any geographic boundaries for our organization. We are looking to maybe create chapters as we become more known by those who have communicated to us an interest to represent our organization in their various states across the country. And certainly we are moving forward very aggressively promoting the need to have such a united front on some of the issues that we all share. Well, I will talk to you a little bit about some of the concerns moving forward, and that is we have a disaster. The one thing I do know we're talking about is Paul Wyckoff. He is the executive director of our Veterans
Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. And what I think is important to note is that CNN did share a report about crazy veterans. And I think that was the term that was used. And that was in response to the Afghanistan tragedy where the military individual actually killed 16 civilians, or let me just get the notes here so I can be specific about the story. But the story, this gentleman, the United States Army Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, well, the story is that he is a victim as well. He suffered from loss of the rules, having three previous tours in Iraq. And according to CNN report, he remained passionately committed to serving his country and cared deeply for others. Let me just read here from CNN.com a little bit about Staff Sergeant Robert Bales. And it says that those who know him are shocked by the accusations. He is a fun-loving, good-hearted, and patriotic. And he suffered a badly injured foot and a head injury from previous tours, and he was passed over for promotion, and his family has been under financial distress. We talked a little bit about it in our last program on Monday, but I will share this, that CNN has done a great job reporting on some of the associated concerns, which is the stigmas that are attached to veterans from this story and being mentally incapable of handling these degrees of stress in combat. Now, we're not attributing one or anything or assuming anything from this discussion, but I do know that the reference to crazy veteran is synonymous with women veterans when they have been involved in some traumatic experience and they are telling their stories. And I know that a crazy veteran is the reference to discredit, discourage the veterans from following up on these various experiences outside of the VA. And, you know, it's discouraging. And crazy veteran is a reference term that we are going to have to take out of the vocabulary when you're dealing with the issues concerning veterans, because these veterans who were qualified to join and to fight for their countries and when they had negative experience, these are still human beings, and they deserve to have a better treatment on the illnesses, certainly when they're not treated, to discredit them by saying that there are any actions that may result from not getting the proper attention to their stressful conditions or conditions that may relate to them as being crazy is insane. But anyone that suggests that any psychological condition that goes untreated does not get better. And for some individuals, they're not strong enough to work through the compounding issues with family and financial issues. All could create a stress. Since he had an injured foot, he had a traumatic brain injury. We don't know what the treatment levels were. We don't know what the recovery levels were. So all these things compounded without knowing, we cannot very easily assume that he's a crazy veteran. And with this, those stigmas are rejected by the veterans community, and we're not going to tolerate being stigmatized or ridiculed or treated as such, which is one of the reasons why I have a problem with women veterans rock. Because women veterans do rock, but not in the sense that they're suggesting, by creating a national term through an organization in that they rock. Women veterans have a who are under psychological treatment or in facilities have a gesture when they're under medication or when they're under certain stressful conditions and they have developed some type of psychological condition, rocking is part of sometimes a part of their activities. It's a behavior that's developed through the medicines or just finding a place of where they can't isolate when they're isolated. They tend to rock. So we're going to reject any type of public connotations or stigmas. As women veterans rock, crazy veteran, we are not accepting that. We're, the veterans community are rejecting those various comments, and we're going to continue to push and make sure that the veterans themselves are heard when we are labeled with such derogatory or unacceptable stigmas as rocking, rock, or crazy, because that's not what is going on in a lot of these veterans, and we are not going to accept it as such. And we're going to give veterans a deserving amount of attention where they have suffered at the hands of our military experience and when they're in harm's way, not counting back, getting any type of treatment, being deployed repeatedly without ever having to recover from any conditions from the previous tours. This is overwhelming. They are individuals. They are human beings. So we want to make sure that the Department of Defense recognizes the need to assist these veterans at the highest level, and that we are at the recruitment level, that these veterans can be replaced when they're not able to return to duty. And we are not trying to create robots here. These veterans are not robots. They are human beings, and there is but so much that they are capable of dealing with during a certain period. Even at the highest level of training, we are still not as resilient as every individual at the highest level. Everybody is not the same. We do not respond to the same levels of stress. We are human beings, and we need to be respected for that which we do, and that which we are not able to do as human beings, to be treated properly. So we're going to continue to push forward in those areas where we can get the attention that we need. Again, this staff sergeant has, within his late 30s, she is accused of living a remote United States combat post on foot in the pre-dawn hours of March 11th and gunning down Afghans in their home. In all, 16 villagers were killed, 9 of them children. Just to read a little bit more here on Staff Sergeant Bales. So this is from CNN.com. You can Google it or find it on the internet. Bales had not been formally charged in Bales has not been formally charged in relation to the killing, so the military has made a determination of probable cause that allows them to be detained. The deaths have outraged Afghans and further strained already tense relations between the two nations. They also shocked those who know and love Bales, including his wife and 2 children. Sergeant Bales' family is stunned in the face of this tragedy, but they stand behind the man they know as a devoted husband, father, and dedicated member of the armed services, attorney Emma Scanlon, said in a statement Saturday. Bales grew up and attended school in Norwood, a Cincinnati suburb of about 19,000 people, according to people near him. As a teenager, Durham recalls, Bales helped care for Durham's severely elderly son. Even though Bales was a popular football player, he never hesitated to take the younger boy along wherever he was headed, Durham said. I love the guy, he said. He's part of my family. I've known him since the day he was born. Let me just fast forward here. According to the account, Bales, then serving as a team leader, said he was proud that his unit discriminated between the bad guys and the non-combatants. And then afterwards, we ended up helping the people that 3 or 4 hours before were trying to kill us. This is according to an Army soldier incident in Iraq in 2007, when an operation to recover a helicopter shot down in Najaf turned into more of a humanitarian mission to help wounded civilians. Okay, so Bales has been positioned to receive all these wonderful accolades of his disposition and his behaviors prior to the military, and I'm so delighted that this has happened, because too often those who serve in combat, they come home and they are detained or or charged with articles that the commands have declared were behaviors unbecoming. We have too many soldiers who are getting a discharge from the military dishonorably after serving many, many years, well beyond a decade, and they're dishonorably discharged. Now, there's a process for upgrades, but this is a very tedious process, particularly when these individuals are unjustly charged with crimes while serving. Now, the Uniform Code of Military Justice takes over in military conduct, I imagine, and so we are going to talk about some of the comments that I believe may steer or maybe the backdrop for what may happen, because this gentleman has not been charged. And it would be a disgrace to see him charged with the overwhelming amount of stress and mental challenges that he was already dealing with. We do not know what was responsible for him to get up in the wee hours of the morning to go, and was able to enter into this particular compound to shoot up these people. But my question is how he was able to even maneuver through his own unit unnoticed, and to have not been either recognized as missing or whatever the case, or even having displayed any behaviors even before this incident, that was something that should have been taken more seriously, that he should have been treated or at least taken out of those combat zones for evaluations or assessments of some type. So we need to hold even those individuals responsible when we have superiors who are very, very gung-ho and mission-oriented. And some of these commands are without the consideration that the soldiers themselves are under conditions that they are not capable of all the time handling. So we need to be cautious about what is going on in the lives of those veterans when we are dealing with them. And let's look to a local report here at the Philadelphia Tribune that is discussing, the Inquirer that is also discussing the massacre suspect at Running Public is there. Title here for the story on Sergeant Bell, page 86 of the Philadelphia Inquirer, Sunday, March the 18th, in the Nation and World section of the Philadelphia Inquirer on page number 86. This middle of the page, it says, "Massacre suspect had money trouble. He even bypassed a promotion and was struggling to pay for a house." Okay, now, bad plans for promotion and struggle to pay for his house. Robert Bell was eyeing a way out of the job at a Washington State military base months ago. He alleged gunned down six civilians in an Afghan war zone. Records and interviews showed as a deeper picture emerged Saturday of the Army Sergeant financial troubles as well as with the law. But that's a contradiction to what we know the policy is, that you cannot foreclose on a military person's house when they are deployed. So I don't know why we are using this as a backdrop for what he is accused of doing in Afghanistan, because we know that we have support and we have foreclosure laws to protect our military from losing their homes when they're deployed. So and I don't understand what that's about, because we know that when you're deployed, you get extra duty pay, you get hazardous duty pay, combat pay, you get all different types of additional income when you're deployed. So I'm not sure exactly what this is about, but we will continue to investigate and to read to try to assist through what the kind of financial problems this gentleman has, and he was not able to make his house payment, because that's no excuse for a military person when you are deployed, because your family, who he has a wife and children, that apparently would have been getting his pay, or and certainly they had advanced pays or advanced loans, emergency relief funds, where military will not be put in situations similar to that of civilians. So, you know, when I see these stories that parallel civilian lives, that's a different culture. And it is not the experience from anyone, but I know that who is served within the military that they cannot get the support that they need in the military through the Army Relief or the military relief departments and agencies that exist within the certain military facility. I did not quite understand what the inquiry was suggesting when they say he had money trouble, because money trouble certainly is not the same unless this general was a religious. See, that's why we need to make those distinctions, because reading this head on, we need to make distinctions to let us know that whether he is a reservist, what his background to the military is, because these are relevant to his existence and knowing why he's in the situation he is, because you could be a reservist for 18 years, go to Iraq, and your whole history could have been that your foundation and your background is insecure and you have no stability, and you could be homeless. And then suddenly you go into the military, this is not necessarily the story that we want to tell without knowing these distinctions. So, you know, the culture is very important to acknowledging to the civilian community and those who want to write about these military stories. And we're going to continue to talk about this just to make some distinctions between what civilians would experience in a similar thing, a situation when we in a active duty military life. And we have to know exactly what the story is and what his status is, because that will make a really big difference into why his money problems are relevant to this whole story. And I'm not sure that it is. It may or may not be, but we will certainly be more into this on our upcoming program on next Monday. We will be talking about military and real estate and foreclosures with one of Philadelphia's experts, homeowner and foreclosure experts here, real estate and developer, Complete Real Estate, which is owned by a woman who's very concerned and in tune with the veterans community, who's going to be shedding some light onto a program which we'll be announcing tomorrow. And we're going to be talking about what that foreclosure and home ownership looks like for veterans in the city of Philadelphia, and maybe we can take it to another level and maybe not all in one setting discuss what the possibilities are for veterans to get some financial security when they're faced with home ownership issues as civilians. And we're going to look at some of the parallels when we're talking about the military culture and what some of those military support systems are. And we're going to try to tie some of these discussions in on tomorrow with Judith Robinson, who is a 20-year real estate professional here in the city of Philadelphia, having an office very close to the National Alliance of Women Veterans. And we're going to be talking about some of these very important issues as they relate to homelessness and the qualifying certificate of home guaranteed loan program that a veteran qualify when they have a GI Bill or other programs that will provide funding for home ownership in the lives of veterans. So we want to tie some of these stories in with tomorrow's program. We will be announcing it, a complete real estate professional, Judith Robinson, who will be discussing some of the underlying issues behind what may be occurring in the struggle for Sergeant Dales to have be in the process of losing his home. And I'm hoping that you all will join us back on tomorrow's program. We're going to continue to have these side programs, if you will, alternate programs from the Women Veterans Speak, because we have experiences and situations like everybody else. We have home ownership issues. We have issues that causes us to be unstable in our existence like anybody else. But for the military community, there are certain and other agencies and support systems for us. And we want to make sure that we tie these particular discussions together so that those women veterans or others in our community who are familiar or desire to become familiar with some of the processes, because we certainly do need the help. We need the help outside to help translate some of these home ownership and mortgaging issues, foreclosure issues, into the veterans community, because some of these things do overlap. And when possible, we will reach in to some of the agencies and get some people from the Veterans Administration to just talk with us on some of the specific opportunities for saving our homes when that foreclosure is an issue. And we're going to continue our talks on tomorrow. We want to thank you so much for joining us. This has been a wonderful program, and certainly we will realize that veterans are in need of a network here in Philadelphia, which we are establishing at the greatest level, beginning March 30th, Philadelphia City Council Caucus Room, where we will have individuals from the Department of Veterans Affairs. We will have grassroots advocates, military individuals, uniformed, ununiformed. We will have active duty, non-active duty, reservists, prior military, all statuses, and we were going to have some discussion on what some of these underlying issues are, and we're going to bring it into one, which I'm sure will be the backdrop for further discussions, but we will lay the foundation on March the 30th, Philadelphia City Council Caucus Room, which is on the fourth floor of City Hall in Philadelphia, downtown city of Philadelphia. We're just so grateful that to have this opportunity. Philadelphia City Council President, Councilman Darrell Clark, who is the 5th District Council, where I am a resident and our office is located, as well as Mayor Michael Nutter, and all of our elected officials who are bringing the resources to the veterans community. We want to make sure that they are all connected, that there is no veteran left behind. We want to make sure that every veteran is treated at the level that they deserve, getting a quality of life equal to that that they desire, and that those resources are available. So we have those advocates here that are networked from here to Washington, D.C. at the highest level in our government, and we will do what needs to be done in the city of Philadelphia. Our advocacy is strong, our advocacy is impactful, and our advocacy is ongoing. And I will end our discussion here today with my visit, my speaking about the upcoming March 29th roundtable, congressional roundtable on federal contracts for veteran-owned businesses. We will be meeting with several congresspeople. There will be open discussion. You can get the information on our website. I will be posting it on Facebook and at the Twitter account and LinkedIn. March 29th, mark your calendars. Congressional hearings. There I will be giving statements and testimony of what I believe needs to happen, what is missing, and some of those problems with connecting the dots from Washington, D.C. We have legislators that are involved at the highest level. We need to make sure that they are hearing from us and that they are recognizing and responding to our advocacy. This is very, very, very serious. We have lives who are being affected and who are not getting the resources, and we need to continue to connect the dots. And I do believe that we have willing legislators and willing individuals and leaders at the table that are willing to share the information and open up those various opportunities that need to happen for those qualifying citizens to get to the table. So I want to thank you once again for joining us on the day. My name is Kathy Santos. I'm the founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans. Please visit our website for more information about us, www.nawdphilly.webs.com. Call us, email us for more information about the March 30th roundtable in Philadelphia, and look for us for more and increased on the web and on the internet and in the community, because we are present. We are increasing. We are growing. We have activities planned throughout the year. Please stay tuned. Join with us. Partner with us. Thank you, because we are going somewhere. We are satisfying unmet needs in the veterans community. Thank you so much. And please have a wonderful, wonderful day.